This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opening day of March Madness. We've spent some time talking hoops this morning. Cinderellas and Michigan State. What if they meet? Bad Dick Vitale impressions. We're having a pretty fun show, but we've gotten some really disturbing news that we've been passing along to you guys. And some of you were aware of this based on your commutes. All the police presence at Troy Beaumont Hospital. Active shooter situation that is still ongoing as of this minute.
As far as we know, yes.
Yeah. Press conference that is scheduled to begin this second.
They're getting set up right now, putting mics on the podium, so that should happen momentarily.
And I think the thing we're all hoping to hear when they get to the podium is they have caught whoever this person is.
Okay, yeah. Greg just gave us the update that it's pushed back the press conference to 9:10.
Well, shortly.
Okay. So then shortly. But yeah, obviously we want to know that they've been able to... If this is an isolated incident, according to the police...
But the suspect is not still in custody, according to police... You know,
as far as we know,
a half hour ago. So
yeah, and people who have family members who work at this hospital, people who have family members that are patients at this hospital, you know, you get a pit in your stomach. There's at least one person. You hope it's not your person. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where it really hits home is you see stuff on the news and it's another city or it's another venue or it's another location. But we've had stuff like this in our backyard with Oxford, and now it's a hospital, one of the major hospitals in our area. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, we don't know the motive. We don't know if this is an individual that they were targeting or if they were hoping to do much more or much worse. We don't know.
We don't know who it is. It could be a disgruntled employee.
Who knows?
It could be a disgruntled patient. It could be a random person that was targeting a random person that happened to be at the hospital.
Or wanted,
we know nothing.
Or a sick person who wanted to try to impact people who were vulnerable.
Exactly.
I mean, that a hospital, I mean, schools get you because children are so innocent and they're helpless. People at a hospital are often helpless too. You know, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying this is really sick and deranged behavior, whoever went to the hospital with this in mind.
It's just one of those things where you don't wake up in the morning thinking that this is going to, how could this possibly be me, or how could this possibly be our community? And these things happen. They're disturbing. They're upsetting. They're awful. And we just are very thankful for the police. We're thankful for the hospital staff that is having to deal with this individual that has been shot.
And you're not trained in this, right?
Well,
No. But I'm saying like a nurse or a doctor or a receptionist, and you're thrown into this, right? I mean, I don't know. You shrugged.
Oh, they're more trained in helping in emergency situations than we are.
But like an active shooter, like I know schools
they
do
might
drills.
Go through I'm sure they go through active shooter training. I'm surprised that we don't, to be quite honest. I think a lot of companies are implementing this type of training, especially at hospitals. I think they're more equipped for it than obviously we are. I wasn't shrugging at you, but I was thinking, I bet they're more.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain.
My wife's previous agency that she worked at did have active shooter drills.
My husband has active shooter drills, and he works remote currently. So, like,
it's just a
it
part
is a
of
thing
our life.
Now. Yeah.
This is one of the, and we are waiting for an update, which we believe now is going to come at about 10 after the hour, at 10 after 9, to find out if hopefully at that time they're all able to say that they have the individual in custody, or at least to more information that will lead them to where this individual is and how they could possibly put everybody's mind at ease that the situation, as bad as it is, could be over.
Yeah, and the obvious PSA that they have wanted everybody to echo is avoid the area.
Yeah.
Avoid the area. If you had an appointment today, a checkup, a scan, any reason to go near the hospital or to the hospital, make a different plan.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. Go home.
Call the department that you're supposed to be going to. Let them know you're not on the way. They'll be more than happy to reschedule you at another time. And it inconveniences so many people because it is such a big hospital. It's one of the major healthcare facilities in the Detroit metro area.
We did get a ticket texter who says they sell pop for a living, and even they require annual training for active shooting. So I mean that's
yes, they do.
If you can speak to that at your place of employment, you could maybe help. Help today. And if you've seen, you know, your commute altered by any of this, we have open lines, 248-539-9797.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot that we don't know about. Trying to give you all the updated information that we do have. But the key information is Corwell Health, Beaumont, Troy Hospital. Steer clear of the area. It's going to be congested with traffic because everything is shut down. They're not going to let you in, so don't show up. Don't be an extra body in the way.
So I guess until we have an update, we can try to do business as usual. I know it feels weird, John. It feels weird.
Yeah, there's no easy transition to talk about Alex Bregman and the Tigers.
Right.
Or, you know, a week from now is when they're going to officially start their season, even though we've seen baseball. We've got the tournament starting today.
Cunningham, buzzer beater. It all feels like a...
It all pales in comparison to what's...
It's awkward. We know it's awkward. So what we'll do here is we have the open lines. We have a great news station down the hall. There is a press conference that's going to be taking place here, and we're going to pass along all the info. Heather's got another news before the show's done. We do have Dear John on a much, much lighter note before the show's over, where we can laugh and get back to some of that. On the sports front, this Bregman audio did make the rounds yesterday.
Yeah.
And Alex Bregman, it was a whole saga, a fiasco here, where the Tigers desperately wanted to add him. He was their number one target. They made him the best offer in terms of years, security, and guaranteed money. And he didn't end up in Detroit. Well, yesterday he was on Foul Territory, one of his baseball shows, podcasts, and he spoke about the situation and how close it was that he would have been a Detroit Tiger. Do you buy that he thought he was going to Detroit the whole time?
If that's the case, and he thought it was nearly a done deal, what was holding up? The fact of signing the contract. Why not get with your team? Why not... You know, get to know some of the teammates. Why not make that decision? I think he was always holding out that there would have been something a little bit more, a little bit better. And I also don't believe, I know that Boston was rumored to be in and out and then back in. Same thing with Houston, where he was coming from. They were out, they were in, and then, you know, then they were ultimately out because they had decided to move on and sign somebody else. Cubs, same thing. The one constant throughout the entire process was Detroit. So it's not surprising to hear that maybe he thought he was going to Detroit, but... You know, it's what was the conversation between him and Scott Harris? More importantly, what was the conversation between him and A.J. Hinch?
Who he says he's talked to all offseason and knows very well.
And, you know, that last, quote-unquote, half hour. I don't necessarily buy it that, you know, in the waning moments of this negotiation that all of a sudden Boston came in with something that was dramatically different.
Detroit had the opt-out after 2 years. He wanted the opt-out after one. Is what we're led to believe was one of the sticking points. It sounds to me like he was sitting on Detroit's offer, hoping someone would get him out of that. Which doesn't sound like he was dying to go to Detroit. It felt like it was Detroit by default unless someone threw him a parachute.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, you don't want to be a team that he settled for. I mean, we would love to have a third baseman right now.
Trust me, I would love Alex Bregman to be on this baseball team. I don't share the like jilted X mentality that I see from some Tiger fans. We didn't want him anyway. No, I very much wanted him to be a Detroit Tiger, and so did Scott Harris and A.J. Hinch. So it's not that. It would be great if he was here, but it's pretty obvious. He was waiting for someone to give him an out so he didn't have to sign here, which sucks. I mean, that's salt in the wound, especially given the fact that Jace Young, the backup plan, well, actually, Veerling, the backup plan, gets hurt. Then the backup to the backup plan, Jace Young, is going to start the year down in AAA. Yeah, it's salt in the open wound.
It is, and it doesn't do us any good, especially knowing that Jace Young, as you mentioned, did not perform in spring training like the Tigers or us wanted him to. And Matt Veerling, hurt. Now we're left with the platooning at that position. You're left with options of Javi Baez going from short to second, which that means probably Trey Sweeney at short. And when on days where Javi doesn't, and if Javi can't hit, do you go as far down the ladder as putting Cole Keith over there? Because Spencer Torkelson has hit. That's been a little bit of a bright spot. We don't know if that translates to regular season.
I don't think it's happening. I know you've mentioned in the last couple days here because he played 1,000 innings of AAA third or minor league third base, but they have moved him to the right side of the infield. I don't think they think he's got a strong enough arm. And to the point now, they're teaching him first. I can't imagine last minute.
They move him over to third?
Yeah, a week before the season. Hey, congrats.
Javi Baez, like last year, all right, he ended up having surgery. We've also seen times where he has been injured.
Yeah.
What happens if he goes down? What happens if something happens to Trey Sweeney? Like, I mean, those are contingency plans that you've got to account for with 2 weeks remaining, this is a week ago. Oh, well, let's try Spencer Torkelson in right field.
Yeah, it does. Musical chairs, I think, is what was used in one of the updates today. It's been musical chairs for the Tigers. They don't have stability at a couple key positions defensively. And yet the season's a week away.
It is a week away today.
If Bregman's a free agent next year, how do you feel about going through this whole saga again? Because we will.
That's a tough question.
If he hits, he's going to opt out.
If he hits and he opts out, the problem is, well, yeah, sure, he'll be attractive, but he's attractive and he's a year older.
Yeah.
And you missed a year of the prime. What are you going to get in terms of not just the first couple of years of the contract? Because that was never the concern in signing him.
No.
It was, are you going to give him a 5-year deal, 6-year deal? Someone even whispered 7. Now, all of a sudden, a year older, you're probably looking at
four, five
on the outside.
Yeah. But you're going to be willing to commit less money to him because you didn't get one of the prime years, right? Part of the reason to add him was to get this year. This is a prime year. If I'm signing you to a deal, I'm getting one less year. I might want to chop off a little bit of that annual cost.
And do you have to go through the same song and dance where you're not making a contingency plan because you think, hey, we're going to get Bregman. This deal is going to get done. And then does it happen again?
Look, if I was the Tigers and I got very little out of third base and Bregman hit 300 and was an all-star and maybe even wins a gold glove, he's opting out and he's going to command a lot of money. If I'm the Tigers, of course I'm interested. I'd make another competitive offer. But what I can't do is make the only option Bregman at third base, right? That would have to be what Scott Harris learns from all this is you make an offer to Alex Bregman, again, if it comes to it, but you draw a deadline, right? You say, you know what? We love you. We think we're giving you the best deal. We're going to look out for you. You know your manager's got your back here. Here's the deal. And if you don't accept by January 1, there's still a couple bats out there, just to use an example. We're moving on. That might be how I would approach it next time around is we'll give you the offer. You have to tell us if you're saying yes. And if you're not saying yes, you're saying no. And we're going to add someone who does want to be here. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
FanDuel is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball through the first two rounds of the tournament. You can bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you're going to win a share of a $1 million in bonus bets. Now, that's an upset you don't have to be upset about. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tournament. You can bet on everything from spreads to money lines and team totals, plus so much more. That's what makes it fun. So download the app and explore. Find out the bets that you like. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day. Because in March, anything can happen. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Winning pre-live moneyline wager on lowest seed required. Each $1 million jackpot to be split equally among all eligible winners. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable and expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We'll have an update on the shooting at Troy Beaumont Hospital coming up with Heather's News. A couple quick tick attacks. We did get back to a little bit of sports. The Tigers, the Alex Bregman audio where he said he was going to be a Tiger the whole time until the very last second those Red Sox came in. It sounds like he was waiting for someone to come in and save him from coming to Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. We're bummed. Let's get the phones. Let's get to Mike in Woodhaven. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think people are forgetting that Torkelson was drafted as a third baseman, and when he was in college, he was a pretty good third baseman, has an above-average arm, and why not give him a shot? He's got to be better than Baez over there.
Well, I don't know that Baez is going to be bad at third base.
Defensively, you're saying?
Defensively,
he doesn't hit.
Okay, well, we're talking about defense right now. And I mean, what makes you believe? I know Torque has had a good spring, but what makes you believe he's going to hit when it comes time for the regular season?
I think he's finally figured it out. You can see a difference between last year and this year. Just I can see the difference from watching. He seems more focused and on his game. Last year, he was lost, and the best thing for him was getting sent down. But I'd try him at third base. That way you're not messing with putting people all over the place. And so, I really don't want to see him in right field.
Why don't you want to see him in right field?
I don't think he has the speed to be an outfielder.
Maybe. He played a little outfield in college. He played very little third base in college. And then he did briefly play a little third in the minors. Remember, the Tigers announced him as a third baseman. But I think they came to the conclusion early in his development, foot speed, reaction time, arm strength, whatever their determination was, he was not going to be a major league third baseman. And he hasn't played third base in years.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played outfield in years.
Yeah.
And
I guess the thought, though, is you can just stick a guy out in the outfield and deal with a little bit of a defensive loss. But if your guy at third can't play third defensively, you're going to be in for a mess of problems.
So it does seem like everybody that they've drafted has been third
at one point.
At one point, yeah. I mean, Torque, Cole Keith. I think it's defensively an easier transition because we've seen it before. Guys go from short and they don't have the range anymore. So they go to third. They go from third to second. Second to first.
Sure, in the case of Cole Keith here. Texter says, because I brought up if they're going to pursue Bregman again next year, and it could be a very real, nauseating possibility, Scott has to have a cutoff date. He can't get left with nothing. Texter says, you're saying they didn't have a contingency plan. That's not true. They had Vierling and Jace Young. Both of them are temporarily out of the picture at the same time. It doesn't seem like poor planning as much as bad luck. Well, Vierling had hardly played third. And Jace Young, for all the talk about you can't block him, is still an unproven young player. I mean, they didn't have a great backup plan.
There was nothing. The level of confidence that if you didn't get Bregman was not high.
Right.
Whether it's, Jace Young, and we're all excited. We think he could be, but he's not right now. And Vierling, that's a placeholder until you could figure it out with somebody a little bit better. The great thing about Vierling is he does hit.
Yes.
And he could play a number of different positions.
And that kind of where his value was, is he was a better outfielder than an infielder. Yeah. He'd only played like 70, 75 games at third base in his career. He would do it in a pinch because he's a versatile player, but it's clear the Tigers' preference to the point where they let all the other options go was Alex Bregman. Right, we said it when they added Gleyber Torres, it couldn't be the only bat they added, and lo and behold, it ended up being the only bat they added. So it does put more of a pressure on Spencer Torkelson to hit wherever he ends up in the lineup, wherever he ends up in the field. All right, we got Dear John, bottom of the hour, 9:35. Let's get to the news and the latest with Heather.
All right, I was able to pop out of here and watch that press conference that was just held about the shooting at Troy Beaumont Hospital, and we have learned a lot. So the shooting actually took place at 7:08 a.m. in the parking structure. It was a targeted shooting between two employees. Five shots were fired, and the victim, a 25-year-old from Troy, was shot twice in the arm. He is currently in stable condition. It sounds like he's going to be okay. They just kept reiterating stable condition. His vehicle was also struck as well. Now, the suspect is still not in custody. It is believed that he is not at the hospital.
He's off property.
They are using canines, drones, and other measures to locate the suspect, but it does sound like he is no longer at the hospital. The suspect is a male. He was identified by the victim, so they know who he is. Like I said, they were both employees there, so they knew each other. They're not giving any more information about the suspect. And they didn't say what led up to the shooting.
These guys knew each other?
Well, they were both employees there. So I'm imagining, yes, they knew each other. Yeah. And the victim was able to identify the suspect. So knew each other, knew of each other. It sounds like they knew each other. Yeah. That's how I took it as. The hospital is still on lockdown, but they say as they clear the hospital, that will be lifted. The soft lockdown at schools, daycares, that will also be lifted. Residents are just told, stay away from the area, right? Mm-hmm. There's still a huge police presence. It's such a big hospital, right? That the process to clear it is going to take a long time, but they do anticipate lifting that lockdown very shortly. So.
And they do believe, just to clarify, that the suspect has fled the building, the area.
Yes, I don't know exactly where he is at the hospital.
Right,
I don't know fleeing the area. I don't want to say yes. I don't know that area.
I mean building.
Yes.
And everybody will obviously be apprehensive until he is caught. So they'll keep working on that. The one thing it does suggest is that this person didn't show up to cause harm to random people at the hospital.
It sounds like it was an isolated incident targeted between these two employees. Yeah. So not that that's great news, but it is better news than
hopefully
this
nobody
shooter
else
is on the loose in the hospital. So hopefully soon the suspect will be caught. They know who he is. They have said he is a male. And they are looking for him. And I'm guessing they will find him.
Yes, shortly.
Yeah. And of course, speedy recovery to the victim.
Yes. And thank God he sounds like he's going to be okay. And that's good news. And thank goodness he was right there at the hospital receiving immediate attention. So that's what I've got for you. Obviously, more as the story unfolds, we'll keep you guys posted. And hopefully before 10 a.m., they'll have caught the suspect and we'll update you on that. In other news, maybe you guys can tell me a little bit about this. So the MLB season, right, officially kicked off on Tuesday. You had the Tokyo series in Japan. Uh-huh. But when it came to the season opener, I guess Fox is facing some backlash for their remote coverage.
Right.
Which, when you hear about these guys' schedule, you understand why they couldn't be in Japan when they're covering also the NCAA tournament. They've got things that they need to be present for as well, but Jason Benetti was one of them.
He could have been there, right? He could have gone to
Tokyo. It sounds like he's got stuff with the tournament he's responsible for as well, so that he needed...
There are a lot of really good broadcasters, and I feel like if you're going to have a partnership with Major League Baseball, and you have one of the game's, if not the game's biggest star, playing in his home country...
They don't half-ass it.
Yeah. Like, because the broadcast is different, remote.
But you could speak to it. You're at all these games on Saturdays. Could you imagine how much harder it would be if you were staring at a monitor in a bunker somewhere?
You lose so much context, but it's just the sound, the environment. You could tell when they're not there, and they do great job. The broadcast has been great. I've gone back and watched some of it, and it's not the broadcaster's fault. It's on Fox. Like, find somebody that could be there and be a good partner.
Yeah, for sure. Some good news for Chick-fil-A fans. It sounds like people are very excited for this new menu offering that will be hopefully arriving at all their restaurants soon. So on Monday, there's this food blogger that reported that Chick-fil-A is upping their beverage game in a huge way with new ice dream spins and floats. So it's not like a new concept, but new to the restaurant. So they're going to allow you to mix any fountain drink flavor with ice cream.
That's fun.
To create the ice cream spin, which is kind of like a shake, I guess. Or you could do more of the traditional like ice cream float. Mm. So that's exciting. It sounds good.
Sure.
You don't seem like you're all that interested in it.
You know, like a good...
No, I like a root beer float.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, all I see in this is it's just, they do a great job of getting you in and getting you your food.
Oh, yeah,
this,
they do.
To me, seems like it's just going to slow the process down.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never been there, but I've seen the lineups, so I can...
Yeah.
I've seen the drive-thru lineups.
The drive-thru line, yeah.
Well, they have like people in the drive-thru lanes, like air traffic controllers.
Some of them, yeah.
The amount of efficiency that they work with is tremendous.
You go to this lane, you go over here, faster time here.
Yeah.
Then they make sure, can you confirm your order? Yeah. Here's your food, and on your way.
I have so many papers in front of me. I really want to do the story. I'm trying to find it, so I'll just talk with you guys about it because I don't know every single detail by heart. We were talking about the MLB series in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And about something that took place there with a former Detroit Lion,
Rodney Pete.
Yes. So he was there at the game with his wife, and he caught a foul ball.
Yes.
And he kind of went viral for it. And we had a little...
clash.
It wasn't meant to be a clash, but you wanted to be very defensive of him and his catch because what's the guy's name? What's the
Max
player's
Muncy.
Name?
Muncy,
yes,
yeah.
Was kind of like scowling after he didn't. He attempted to try to catch the ball over this really short netting, and I think he thought he was going to catch it based off of his reaction. But
Rodney Pete caught it,
and he caught it.
So
a great catch, but people were. I don't know if they were calling him out, but
reached over the fence, thought he was going to catch the foul ball. He didn't, but to his knowledge, a fan did.
Yes.
He didn't know it was Rodney Pete.
No, he had no clue who it was.
And when you watch the video, Max had already missed the ball. His glove was above Rodney Pete's. Rodney Pete's has his underneath.
It's almost like he was backing him up.
Yes. And Rodney Pete caught it and then very slyly stuck the glove and ball behind his back, like very nonchalant. But people were giving him a hard time because of the reaction of Max Muncy,
who thought maybe he could catch it for an out.
Thought he had been interfered with. He wasn't. It's a great catch by Rodney Pete.
Now, you say Rodney Pete, former Detroit Lions quarterback, right?
Yes.
He also was drafted by the Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
He has a baseball background, and clearly you can tell.
Yeah, and he called in. He's now a radio host in L.A. Called into his own station and said, hey, I was just protecting my wife, protecting myself, and they gave me a glove right there. Well, I agree, because when I watched it, I was like, it wasn't protecting your wife.
You were making a slick catch. Good for you.
But he said that everyone in that section got gloves because the netting is really low, so everyone was given these gloves like, here, if you see a ball coming your way, catch it.
My initial question was, did Rodney Pete travel to Japan with his baseball glove? But then it was stated that they put him in their seats. Yes.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Dear John, it's 97.1.